Chop, the original Guillotine League podcast. Everything you need to know to avoid the chopping block. Chop is brought to you by GuillotineLeagues.com. Now, your hosts, Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson.
Welcome to Chop, the Guillotine League podcast. It is week number 12. I am Paul Charchian, and co-host is Brian Johnson. Hey, hey.
What's up, Charge? Happy Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, it's a short week, but a lot going on. You're going to be, you may find yourself in a big deficit or maybe in a command position rolling into Friday's Black Friday game. Going to have to really monitor your lineups pretty closely.
They better be, they're giving that game away.
Yeah.
With the Jets involved.
I know. Tim Boyle make it his start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't complain too much if you can watch some NFL.
Oh, we can complain.
We can, but
I don't like it.
I don't know what else I would be watching, so.
You know, we'll be talking more about the Jets offense a little bit later, tragically. It won't be a long discussion, I can assure you, but I don't like the Friday thing. We already get so much football on so many different days.
Yeah, Friday, I don't know.
Was anybody asking for this? Were people like, I need more NFL football on Black Friday?
Well, I would much rather have, in general, not counting Thanksgiving, of course, football on Friday than Thursday. I'm sure the players would.
Well, I don't. I want to be with my friends on Friday nights. You know, I want to be out doing stuff.
Ugh. You're a young buck. I don't go out and hang out with friends anymore.
Night.
No. I'll sit home and watch football. That's fine by me.
We're here every Tuesday to give you guidance about how to strategize your bidding for the week. We will continue this podcast through up to week 14, which brings me to this reminder that we've been doing for several weeks, just to make this extra super duper clear. I know most of you listen every week until you're out of Guillotine Leagues and you just stop listening, and I don't blame you. But the way this is going to work, waivers will run all season long.
Mm-hmm.
From the conclusion of week 14 and all the rest of the weeks after that, effectively our playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Players on teams that are chopped will not be available.
So those will be three chopped teams if you're playing through week 17.
That's
the team
right.
Chopped in week 14, 15, 16.
Yes. Those three rosters will not be available, but everybody else will be available. And we locked those players out for gameplay balancing reasons that we dove into, gave you a deep explanation on it last week. I'm not going to do it this week. So really, three more weeks of full bidding on all available players.
And now that, just to specify, is regardless of league size or when your league started.
Yeah.
It's a universal setting this season.
Excepting Super Chop leagues.
Excepting Super Chop.
That would be the only
playoff drafts tonight, though.
I know, for Super
Chop. Exciting.
Yeah. Congratulations to Super Chop. All the people that won their Super Chop leagues and are advancing to the playoffs. Congratulations to all of you. That feels great. It is. You've already made it through the first big milestone.
Yeah.
Somebody's playing
with house money. You've already netted some profit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sky's the limit. Yeah. I made it to the final three. I was in the Scott Fish Bowl. Charity contest.
I should join that because it's a charity thing and it's not cash.
Yeah,
I could do that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it'd be fun, but we can't play the normal ones.
Right.
But
right.
I was like, Super Chop rules. So if you missed out this year, look for them next year. We'll have a lot more.
Remind me to do the Scott Fish Bowl Super Chop next year. A couple of things to get into. First, before we dive into all the players are chopped and everything else, I took it on the chops in two of my 10 Guillotine Leagues last week. Got knocked out in two of them. Both had Mark Andrews, but beyond that, and I think there's something to learn from this, both rosters that got chopped suffered from the same problem, too many mid-tier players, Brian, because I'm always saving. I had a lot of like $30 players that I had accumulated, so I had a lot of, as an example, of I had two players in common on both rosters, Mark Andrews, Christian Kirk. You know, and Mark Andrews have been great, and the injury thing, it's you can't know, but the Christian Kirk part was a major bummer.
That Jaguar,
what's going on with that kind of guys. And so I don't want to drill down on Christian
Kirk. I know.
But I think my takeaway is because I don't spend big amounts early, those teams don't have much star power, and I think I had gotten to a point where I should have spent more fab and probably tried to get a little more star power going. Although when you hear our top 10 chop players, it's chock full of stars. So maybe that wouldn't have been the solution, but I think I'm going to be a little bit more cautious about dropping those $30 and $40 on mid-tier guys. That move makes sense in September, but I think as you get on into the season, into October,
it's almost like
those
all
guys
or
don't help
now.
Those guys don't help, and that's exactly where we are now.
Yeah, it's a buck or it's all your booty.
Yep, I think you're at single digit dollars, or the guys who can get you, like we talked about last week, the guys that can get you to the end game, the guys that are you're going to start the rest of the way, and then you're pushing in bigger money for. Everybody else is irrelevant. I'm not spending $30 on anybody right now, unless it's an end game player that I can start the rest of the way that I think I can get for $30.
Agreed.
We use base 1,000 here, the amount used at guillotineleagues.com. As you know, if you are playing somewhere else or doing it differently, you can do the math yourself to make those changes. And as a reminder, of course, as I like to tell people, the CHOP data page, so valuable at guillotineleagues.com to give you some great historic waiver pricing for every player so you don't have to bid blindly, even though it is blind bidding. So we're down to two tiers of guys. Brian, we just talked about this. The $1, $2, $9. I'm going to say 1 through 9, single-digit guys. And I'm going to drill down on each of these guys at the end. Jordan Love, Ty Chandler, Salman Ahmed, OBJ, Jaden Reed, DeMario Douglas coming off by.
Pop, better known as Pop Douglas.
Yeah, he is. That's right. Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray. There's a couple of quarterbacks that you could target. Trevor Lawrence, who had done nothing all season, dropped in many, many, many leagues, and then, of course, pops off when nobody's got him.
QB1 last week.
Yeah.
I think Tommy DeVito was QB2.
He might have been.
He was in the top three or four. I know that much. He might have been. It was that kind of week.
Yep. And then there's the end game guys that we've already referred to, guys that are going to stay on your roster all the way to the end of the season. And starting roster. These are roughly top 10 players at their position. This is going to range from about $30 to $150 this time of year. Do not go all in. Don't push in like, you know, you got $300. Don't go all in unless you're sure you don't need to make another move all year.
Mm-hmm. And again, you can make a move, but you're not bidding on anyone.
No, be really careful about the all-in move.
Yeah, you're looking at the scraps.
I'm going to hit you with some of these names. That might be in like the $30 range.
Okay.
Zach Charbonnet, starter for at least a week.
Yep.
Right? And he'd been out snapping Kenneth Walker, who'd been hobbled by injury for a couple of weeks.
Walker, I know we're probably going to talk about him a little later, but yeah, for sure, I'm in on Charbonnet. But let me just throw Kenny McIntosh, that name out there really quick. He's going to see some snaps now. Rookie running back, like a 6th, 7th round pick, but he's been buried. He was injured, buried on the depth chart, but now he should see.
He could see a little Keaton Mitchell style late season.
I think he's going to be they want to see what he can do over. They've seen what DJ Dallas can do, and that's not much. Charbonnet, borderline bell cow.
But you don't. Walker's hurt. Yeah. Isaiah Likely, I think, is going to be in the $30 range.
Absolutely. The only downside to him is the week 13 bye, but you still got to acquire him, even if you didn't roster Andrews. I mean,
It doesn't matter if you had Andrews or not. AJ Dillon with Jones hurt, maybe. I'm not a Dillon guy. Calvin Ridley was available in half of my guillotine leagues.
Well, that's what I was going to get to real quick when you brought up Kirk, because he had a bad game because Ridley had a good game because Zay Jones was in the lineup.
Right.
There are three games. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the three games that Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley have played together, Ridley has gone off.
That's the three good games he's had, and all the rest are terrible.
Awful. I don't think like the rest of his stats from the bad games combined equal just one of the good games that he's had.
No, probably
with
not.
Zay Jones.
Probably not. All right. Well, let's jump into the 10 most CHOP players. Odds are 1, 2, 3 of these guys hit your league's waiver wire. Mark Andrews was in the list, but I've taken him out since he's no longer worthy of discussion. Yeah.
They're saying hopefully he can come back, but I think that's more like
that's
playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a playoff scenario where he comes back. The 10th most CHOP player. New York Giants wide receiver Garrett Wilson. All that offense. They've now gone to Tim Boyle at quarterback. It's come to this. The upcoming schedule is really interesting, Brian. They're all home games for the next 3 weeks, but they're all on the tougher side. Miami's secondary has been rejuvenated with Jalen Ramsey. Then Atlanta, which has been a good secondary all season. Then Houston, which was good last year and this year. Median winning bid last week for Garrett Wilson, $38.
I think this is the first time he's made an appearance on the show.
You might be right about that.
Which is shocking considering he loses Rodgers in the first drive of the season. But yeah, looking at his game logs, like until last week, of course, 2 catches, 9 yards. He's putting up numbers, not like wide receiver 1 numbers, but like
No, just through sheer volume. He was getting you like six catches and 70 yards a game, right?
70 or seven catches for 80, nine for 93 last week. But that did not happen against the Bills. And will it ever happen again this season with Tim Boyle and whoever else that they... I don't know. I know they said Aaron Rodgers wants to come back in week 16. But so you really can't trust Garrett Wilson. And maybe if Rodgers comes back, he's part of your endgame strategy, but he's certainly not...
No.
Right now. So I just have $10 on Wilson.
Yeah. I got one.
Yeah. He's just so good. But you've seen good receivers can get it done with bad quarterbacks through volume. And hopefully that's what happens. But yeah. 10.
Look, if Tim Boyle was the answer, that had gone to him a long time ago.
No,
is my presumption.
I've seen his, like, he doesn't have good numbers in the pros because he's barely played. But I saw his college numbers and they're awful. It's like, how did this guy even get in the league?
Yeah, some guys do that.
I don't know.
Brad Johnson did that, won a Super Bowl based on basically never starting in college.
They really hold that tablet well.
Yeah.
They relay the signals like a pro.
The ninth most chopped player, Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Just 64 rushing yards last week, and what really killed him, two catches for 6 yards. I mean, that's been the beauty of Eckler's whole career, has been the incredibly high floor because he nets you five PPR points just on his receptions. The upcoming schedule is really interesting, Brian. Baltimore.
Brutal.
And then the one good thing the Patriots are doing, stopping the run all season long, and that's in New England. Then he's got Denver as a very positive matchup. So it's tough, positive. The median winning bid last week for Austin Eckler was $208, and then he promptly gave you that dud. What are you doing here?
So last week he averaged 6.4 yards per carry. In the previous games, it's been 3.5, 3.4, 1.9, 3.2, 1.9. Oof. Not getting it done on the ground. Of course, it's like mostly about the receiving with Eckler, but he did average 6.4 yards per carry, like I said. But did you see that one long run he had? Where, like, he looked like a fullback. It was scary. It's like, whoa, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Austin Eckler should have taken it to the house.
Right.
Like, he had grass in front of him for days, but he got caught from behind by, like, two people. I think one was a linebacker. And I was like, so that was scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, he's getting up there in age. He shouldn't have just fallen off a cliff all of a sudden.
No.
But that run, I don't know. Maybe... It looked like he had a dirty diaper. I don't even know how to put that. You have to see this. It looks so bad. It was like, what? I could run faster than that.
I don't remember this play.
I'll show you after the show. But
all right.
That was alarming. So that dumbed down my bid on Eckler. But and again, the Baltimore matchup.
Baltimore,
this week,
New England is my worry.
Baltimore is like basically a stopper. So we'll probably be talking about Eckler next week. So I only have $55 on him.
I got $125, about half of what he was going for last week.
You might drop that after you see this highlight. I'll show you.
Yeah, right. Maybe so. The eighth most chopped player, Tennessee running back Derrick Henry. This Will Levis learning curve has just killed Henry. The upcoming schedule, though, Carolina,
there you go.
And then Indianapolis. Then he's at Miami. The median winning bid last week was down to $61 for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I'm essentially out on King Henry, unfortunately, except for this Carolina game. He should have a good game in this one.
You hope so.
And this should be like his farewell tour, like swan song game, sadly, in Tennessee, because they're all but out of the playoff hunt, and he's getting up there in age. So great matchup in Carolina. So I just want him for this game. And it's not like I'm going to drop him, but he's definitely not like an auto start like he has been in years past. So I only have $35 on him. I think that would be enough to win him. I know the name is still a big time.
I know.
Name.
I think just on name value alone, I
don't want him for more than that, though.
Well, then that's the perfect bid.
Yeah, $35.
If your bid is
38,
like,
I'll go 38.
Okay, if your bid was 39 and you didn't get him, and you'd be happy you didn't get him, then you've reached your maximum bid at 38. I had $30, so we were right in the same ballpark again. We've been in lockstep through three. We'll see if that continues. Usually we're not. Seventh most chop player, Cincinnati wide receiver Jamar Chase. Now with Jake Browning throwing him the ball, I thought Browning's passing was okay. He's got wheels, which is good for him. That will help Chase.
Kind of surprising.
Upcoming schedule is Pittsburgh as a kind of neutral matchup. Then at Jacksonville, Indy. They're all basically neutral matchups. In the median winning bid last week, still a very healthy $184. I don't think we're going to get near that this week.
Yeah, it's not often you make this list when you score a touchdown like chased it last week. Yeah. It was only his second catch of the night.
That's right. What is it, 2 for 12?
Yeah, something like, and the touchdown. And mm-hmm. not that we care, but it was in total garbage time. But it was a great throw by Browning. So Browning, he's not a total bum, it appears. So he's not Joe Burrow, of course. But, yeah, the loss of Burrow, it affects the whole offense, of course. And the offense starts with Chase when it comes to the skill position players. But I think Browning is going to pepper him with targets, you would have to imagine.
If I'm Jake Browning, my whole thing is where on the field can I find Ja'Marr Chase?
It's basically what Zach Wilson did with Garrett Wilson until they had enough in New York or New Jersey, I should say. But long story short, I'm not coming anywhere near 180. I'm at $85 on Chase. I think he'll get the volume, but now he's an wide receiver too.
Yeah, he is, that's a good way to put it. He's a wide receiver, too, with Jake Browning, and where it's really going to kill him, I think.
A really good one, but he's a wide receiver, too.
My assumption is they're not going to ask Jake Browning to throw the ball deep a lot. And that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, the great highlight plays are all these deep balls from Joe Burrow. I'm assuming they're going to shorten the field a lot and give Jake Browning a lot of high-percentage passes. And those things, it's nice. You know, we'll take the 8-yard catch, but I really want the 18-yard catch, and that's going to be the big difference, I think. So I'm at $50 on Ja'Marr Chase. The sixth most chopped player, Devon Achane, had the setback on his knee injury. Here, you waited all this time to get him back off IR. This is why we keep example number one and Justin Jefferson's example number two. Guys that go on IR, dead to you. Do not bid on these guys on IR because a month is forever in a guillotine league, and the team that's sitting on that, wasting that roster spot's likely to get cut at some point in that month, and then you can go get him for a fraction of the service time. So Achane has the setback on the knee injury. Mike McDaniel says he might be able to play this week. We don't know. He's at Jets, and the way you beat the Jets is on the ground. Then he goes at Washington, a terrible overall defense, including on the ground. And then he goes Tennessee. That used to be a defense that was really tough against the run, but they've come back to the middle of the pack now. So there's your schedule. Median winning bid last week was only $50 on Achane. What are you doing here?
Well, we don't know if he's playing as of yet, and when he does come back, they're certainly not going to be giving him 25 carries.
Not if he's going to keep breaking down.
And again, people are just remembering those monster box scores he had, and yes, they were great games, but I'm not going to call it fluky, but it was just not sustainable, that type of production. Mm-hmm. So I'm just at a buck on Achane.
And
if we go beyond the three games following those three you just listed, the Dolphins have the worst fantasy play. This applies to every Dolphin. Tyreek Hill, think about this now. Week 15, Jets. Again, they might be quit mode by then.
Yeah, and you can run on the Jets.
You can run on the Jets, but when it comes to Tyreek Hill, you know, you got Sauce Gardner. But then week 16, Dallas, week 17, Baltimore.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's how the Dolphins close.
Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Durham Smythe.
He's probably going to be their top scorer. But yeah, keep that in mind.
That's good to know. I've got Achane at $25. The fifth most chopped player. We're talking about him in back-to-back weeks. Buffalo wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Another dud game. Upcoming schedule is also very interesting. It's at Philadelphia, which is a very plus matchup that you might not realize. Philadelphia is so bad against the pass.
Unless you're Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Oh, dude. I mean, he cost him a game.
Yeah.
He turned a win into a loss. Then a bye week. So Buffalo hasn't had their bye, so you've got to factor that in. And then he's at Kansas City.
Yeah, tough
game. L'Jarius Sneed. I mean, everybody watch. If you watched the game last week, you saw what he just did to A.J. Brown.
Yep.
L'Jarius Sneed shadows opposing number one receivers. He'll be shadowing Diggs. So you get a great matchup this week. Then you can't play him in the bye. And then a brutal matchup in which you basically have to start him. But it's a very tough matchup against the Chiefs. What are you doing here? By the way, median winning bid last week, $134.
Yeah, this is a tough spot because you got to love Diggs, and he's in the midst of this. He's still in a brutal stretch, like you said. Not a tough matchup this week. It's better against the Eagles, but he's had two bad games, been against the Broncos and the Jets, who roster arguably the two best cornerbacks in the league. The Jets might have the two best cornerbacks in the league on their
own. The same team, yeah.
DJ and I'm talking about Patrick Surtain Jr. for Denver. But anyway, that's in the past. Looking ahead, like you said, neutral matchup, bye, brutal matchup. Seventh hardest remaining strength of schedule for wide receivers for the remainder of the year for Buffalo. Oh, man. $85 on... I'll go 86 because I put 85 on Chase. I would probably rather have Diggs over Chase, even though we got the bye coming. Because Josh Allen, we hope, is still a better quarterback than Jake Browning. He came back to life last week, of course, Josh Allen. But $85 is where I'm at on Diggs, just because we'll probably be talking about him in week 14.
That's why I'm only $30 on Stephon Diggs, which shocks me that it's this low, but I'm $30 because I think he's going to pop up, not after this Philly game, but after the bye week or after the Kansas City week, he's going to pop up again. Somebody's going to get chopped with him, and that's when I'll make my move on Diggs.
While we're on the Bills receivers real quick, Gabe Davis, zero targets last week.
Unreal.
He's done.
He's the most polarized. Well, you say that, but then you go back one box score, and it was all Gabe Davis. I mean, he's all or nothing, and you have to figure out which defenses he'll be startable in. But at this stage of a guillotine league, at this point, not rosterable.
Yeah. No, who is at this point even? Khalil Shakir. I know. Especially for that Kansas City game you mentioned where...
Well, and the Philadelphia game. Yeah. Philadelphia's down to their third and fourth string slot cornerbacks. Bradley Roby is playing the slot right now. He's beatable. And then Eli Ricks is the guy behind him, and he's awful. He might be like the worst cornerback in the league. So, yeah, Shakir remains startable.
It's time. I mean, I'm not a coach, but it's time that he starts over Gabe Davis, in my opinion. You've seen enough Khalil Shakir.
But Shakir is a prototypical slot
receiver. He's that size. Not a ton. He's not like 5'8". They got other slot receivers, though, in Buffalo. Whatever. We'll see what happens.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
The number four, most chopped player, Las Vegas running back Josh Jacobs. Another interesting schedule guy. Kansas City, you can run on Kansas City. We've seen it all year long. We saw it on Monday night. Then a bye week. Then Minnesota, that's turned into one of the best run defenses in the league, although missing their key inside linebacker, who's on IR. So that's a sizable loss for them. But still, this is a good Vikings run defense. The median winning bid last week on Josh Jacobs was $88. He had sparked to life in the two games prior to this. I'm surprised we're talking about him here. What are you doing with him?
Yeah, the two games prior, when Antonio Pierce's first two games as head coach, he was averaging 28 touches. Josh Jacobs, only 15 touches last week against the Dolphins. And it's not like the game script was negative.
No, it was close. They were within a touchdown for most of the game.
Close games. It was just good defense on both sides, really. Jacobs... still going to get 80% of the touches at minimum. Yeah, but like you said, decent matchup this week, but then by Minnesota, tough matchup. So you got to be wary of that. So I'm at 45 on Jacobs.
Exactly my number, 45 on Josh Jacobs. The number three most cut player last week, Seattle running back Kenneth Walker, got knocked out on Sunday with an oblique injury, and the Seahawks play Thursday. I don't believe he's going to play in that Thursday game, that Thanksgiving night game. So you're looking at, and if he does play at San Francisco, which is no cakewalk anyway, it's one of the toughest run defenses in the league. So assume you're not starting Walker this week. Then he'll have another week to heal, but then he goes at Dallas, and then he's at San Francisco. So even if he comes back... those are some tough spots to start Kenneth Walker. Median winning bid last week, $65. What you doing?
$1. I don't want him based on all that.
Yeah.
He comes back. He's not like he's going to be the bell cow either.
No.
Charbonnet was taking more snaps than his touches. Yeah. It started that way for Walker. He was looking like a league winner to start the year. But, he's essentially not startable even when he comes back. Really?
You're a buck.
I'm a buck.
Yep.
And I don't know if I put the buck on it, to be honest with you.
I was 20 just to play it. Basically, I'm not going to start him for 3 weeks, but for 20, if I can get Kenneth Walker for $20, I'll sit him on my bench for 3 weeks and see what happens. The second most chopped player, Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp, got hurt last week, and he got hurt fairly early in the game as well. So it had a very small box score. Upcoming schedule, they're not ruling him out for this week yet. At Arizona, it'd be great if he can go in that matchup because obviously the Arizona secondary is terrible.
Yeah, low ankle sprain.
But then,
for Kupp,
Cleveland and Baltimore.
Bad news.
Median winning bid last week on Cooper Kupp was $68.
I'm only kidding, of course, but it's almost like this Rams offense is better when he's not playing.
Matthew Stafford is like 50 more yards a game without Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Go figure.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
And clearly it helps Puka Nacua. Rams get Kyren Williams back too this week. I'm just excited about that. I had to mention that. He's not a wide receiver, as we all know. But I don't know. If he plays this week, I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't know if I get the Peacock for Kyren Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
He got hurt.
He's missed 5 games. So.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. It's not a win or a loss. It just sucks. But anyway, back to Cooper Kupp. Yeah, 9th easiest remaining strength of schedule for Kupp rest of the way. But if he misses this week, you can't put the risk of him missing this week, you can't put a substantial bid on him, in my mind. So I'm at $40 on Kupp.
$40. I'm at 25. Yeah, it's come to this for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, don't know the injury status, so I'm probably not going to play him this week.
They're saying it's lowest of low ankle sprains.
Okay, good. That's a Liz really, Frank at that point. But, yeah, that Cleveland-Baltimore thing, that makes me a little
bit nervous. Are those on the road, too?
Cleveland is home. Baltimore is road.
Yeah, well, that's brutal.
Yeah, that's not great.
At least they're not both on the road.
All right, and the most chopped player, and we've already alluded to this once, locked down by Legarius Sneed on Monday night. It's Philadelphia wide receiver A.J. Brown. I can't believe we're talking about this considering a basically historic run leading up to this for A.J. Brown. You made it through his bye week, and then you get this, a brutal turn.
And you're expecting a shootout on Monday night, Super Bowl rematch. Nope.
No. You get, was it one catch or two?
You one.
Yeah. Upcoming schedule. Buffalo turning favorable because of all the injuries in their secondary. San Francisco, you can still pass on San Francisco.
Yeah, there's an angle to throw against San Francisco.
And then at Dallas, which is not as hard as it used to be with Trayvon Diggs, but still tough. There's your scenario for A.J. Brown. Median winning bid last week, $204 for A.J. Brown. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm going to forget the Monday night game and just look forward. And he is essentially matchup proof. He wasn't on Monday night.
He was the opposite of matchup proof.
He got matched up of matchup proof. But I don't know, the pace of that game just didn't favor anyone.
Yeah, the rain.
It was ugly. And yeah, they're good defenses too. But again, he's essentially matchup proof. So he's definitely going to command my highest bid on this list. I was over 200 initially, but I'm like, that's a little high this point of the season, unless I have like $1,000 left of fab. But I'm going to go out 190 on A.J. Brown. Wow.
190. You and I never, twice, no. We had the exact same dollar amount.
I think last week we were
190 each.
Pretty much in
Let me mention this, a deeply favorable matchup in the playoff run. Your playoff run, final 3 weeks for Philadelphia's wide receiver A.J. Brown, Seattle, Giants, Arizona. Tantalizing.
Yeah, and thankfully, the 49ers are going to be there to push the Eagles and maybe the Lions too. So, you know, they won't be incentivized to rest guys in week 17 or anything like that. So, hopefully, the NFC stays quite competitive at the top so we get all our studs, at least through week 17. Do whatever you want, week 18, we don't care.
Don't forget these guys. These are the cheap guys that everybody, you know, standard leagues, a lot of these players are being picked up. These are $2 guys. Now, as I always do, we wrap up the show where I ask Brian, would you cut a player? And again, at this point, the $2 don't matter so much. The slot matters more than the $2. So think about who you have to give up. Let's start here. Jordan Love coming off his first 300-yard game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Love apologist. But no, he looked good. I mean, he has his moments of badness too, but I'm in on Love. I know he's got the Vikings in week 17, right?
Yeah.
They're not as bad as we expected them to be. Not nearly as bad on defense, but that's a nice indoor game late. So he's a guy like I would want as a backup quarterback, at least for the next couple weeks.
I think in this format, I'm not rostering the 20th best fantasy quarterback, so I'm a no. Ty Chandler. $2 and cut a player.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you.
My frustration is through the roof on this. Apparently, Alexander Mattison can fumble the ball 1,000 times before they're going to just give the ball to Ty Chandler.
Yeah, over 100 combo yards and like 30% of the snaps.
Yeah.
If I can do this math, Kevin O'Connell, where if I play him twice as much,
right,
You're looking at a ton of production that Alexander Mattison has not been giving you all year. Has he scored a touchdown yet? A rushing touchdown?
I know he's calling. No rushing touchdowns. Any running back. Two receiving touchdowns. And last I checked, and this is like 2 weeks ago, he was negative yards on rushes originating inside the 10-yard line.
It's the pass protection, right? That's like
that's
the only...
usually the knock on Chandler's pass protection, but
and Madison's good better. At it. Yeah. That's got to be like the only thing at this point.
Salvon Ahmed doing anything for you? Devin Achane's hurt. Jeff Wilson's a non-factor in this offense.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, when Achane went down, it was Wilson or not Wilson? It was Ahmed who got the touchdown. It wasn't Wilson. So if something happens to Raheem Mostert, there seems to be something always happening in that Miami
right.
backfield. So
it's constant churn back there.
And I think even Wilson's still maybe worth a buck if he's out there. But Ahmed is a little more appealing right now.
OBJ seems to get banged up in every game, but playing right now, and he's actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, he looked great last week.
Mm-hmm. And like with vintage. Mark Andrews out, that is, I believe, like 7.5 targets per game that are going to be displaced.
Breathing some life into one of my peacock calls from the preseason. Don't sound it yet. It was OBJ, top 24
it's
wide receiver.
It's going to have to do a lot in these last few games.
But there's hope. Hope.
Jaden Reed, to me, looks like the best receiver on the Packers.
He was the best running back on the Packers, too. He led the team in rushing.
He did.
No, he's a great player. I mean, he was one of the – him and – like, I was, like, more in the know on rookies than I usually am prior to the actual NFL draft. No one was drafting Jaden Reed in, like, early best ball leagues, and then the Packers take him in the second round. I'm like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
What another awful pick by the Packers, but no.
Yeah, looks good.
Looks good.
Yeah,
he looks – And Romeo Dobbs looks good, fast. And – Christian Watson finally caught a touch. That's why I went back to Jordan. Going back to Jordan Love. That's why I put a buck on him. The offense is coming around. We'll see.
DeMario Douglas, $2 and cut a player.
DeMario Pop
this
Douglas.
This is the Patriots' presumed number one wide receiver.
Yeah, the rookie that was supposed to be doing anything for the Patriots at wide receiver was supposed to be Kayshon Boutte, but he's not doing much. But Pop Douglas. I mean, any wide receiver one should be rostered, at least at this point in the guillotine league.
Who's throwing the ball to him?
Yeah, that's true.
Bill
it's
Belichick
Tim Boyle.
Will commit.
It's not Tim Boyle, so. No.
Might be Malik Cunningham.
Might as well see what he can do. I mean,
look, if he could play, he'd already have been on the field. Mac Jones has been benched 3 times. Can you remember a season where the starting quarterback was benched 3 different times? In-game benchings.
No.
I can't either. I'm sure it's happened before, but I don't remember it. Trevor Lawrence, $2.
Yeah, why not? He's.
I'll give you a why not. Hardest remaining schedule.
I was going to check that first. So, okay, that's not good.
Yeah, schedule's brutal for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
that's why I'm not picking him up for $2. I'd rather have Jordan Love for the $2. Kyler Murray.
For sure.
Yeah, he's overall played pretty darn well. Rushing touchdowns of both. And I'm stunned at his freewheeling running off the ACL. Looks good. Did not expect that at all.
And not that he's amazing or anything, but Michael Wilson, the wide receiver, hasn't been playing. He'll add another option for Murray. I think Zach Ertz is supposed to come back.
Hey, if you're in Dynasty Leagues, this is a Guillotine League podcast. If you're in Dynasty Leagues, go get Michael Wilson.
Yeah.
Man, he'll cost you nothing right now to acquire if you don't have him. Might even be available, depending on the size of your league, but most he's not available. Man, right now you can chip off a next year's like third round pick for Michael Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the kid can play. He's got good size, and you know with the way Kyler Murray has looked, I feel pretty favorable about his future prospects.
I agree.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Apple pie or pumpkin pie?
I like pumpkin pie. I'm not going to lie. I know you're going to rake me over the coals.
Yeah, it's squash. It's liquidy squash.
I've known you a long time. I know your stance on pumpkin pie, but I still like it. Only on Thanksgiving, though. It's like the only time I really...
See, and that's one of the
key
things.
I don't like pumpkin spice lattes and all that other crap.
I don't believe you. I think you're secretly...
Oh, I'm coffee black.
...down in those.
No, Americanos black. That's me. No flavoring.
Most of the time when you order a pumpkin spice, whatever, whether it's your pumpkin spice Cheerios or your latte or whatever, you're getting squash. It's not even pumpkin.
I forget. I only see these things because, like, people tweet them at you. But
all the time.
The scratch and sniff pumpkin underwear. Do you remember that one?
Now, that was not a real thing, I don't believe. I think that was just somebody mocked
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But.
This tells you everything. You said it. It tells you everything you need to know about this discussion.
People
eat apple pie year-round because it's delicious every day of the year. You could have it for breakfast. It's fantastic all the time.
When's the last time you had McDonald's apple pie?
I don't think they offer it anymore. I think it stopped that like 15 years ago.
I almost grubhubbed one.
They still sell the apple pie?
Yeah.
That thing was, it would burn your mouth. If you grubhubbed it, it'd be cool by the time you got it.
I'm living the bachelor life right now, so I'm grubhubbing McDonald's. Yes, it's pretty sad.
That is sad.
I know.
Why can't you just go to McDonald's yourself?
Oh, laziness.
Jeez.
I don't want to go to McDonald's.
I don't, but who wants cold McDonald's? Who wants a cold fry?
No, it comes pretty quick. It's not.
It's hot enough for
me. It's good enough.
No chance.
This is my favorite Thanksgiving question. Just like not every bite, but how many food items do you have on your fork? Like, do you just eat one, like a bite of turkey and that's it? Like, I like to get a piece of turkey, dab it in the mashed potatoes, maybe try to grab a green bean. I'm at three or four. items in every fork full of food, just stuffing my face on Thanksgiving.
I think there's no wrong answer. I think you can do that how you want.
I know it was one of my
except for the yams. Don't eat yams.
One of my buddies would eat every like all the turkey. They would eat all the mashed.
Yeah, I know people like
that too. Serial killer status.
Yeah, that's so weird. Yeah. I don't understand that. Why wouldn't you want to change the flavor profile with every bite? You know, why do you want to have turkey, 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 stuffing, 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 stuffing? I want to go, you know, mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey, then whatever, cranberry. You know, I want to mix it up so that every time you get a new flavor sensation.
Yeah, you
haven't
you're
had
a serial
it
killer
three,
if you don't
three,
if you don't foods. Want to do that.
Yeah.
I got to mention this. I don't know why, just because I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I'll never do it because it seems like it's way too much work, but it's how to eat Thanksgiving leftovers. I haven't seen this. It was egg rolls. So like fried egg rolls with turkey, mashed potato, whatever you want in there.
Wow.
Stuffing.
You'd have to make your own egg roll.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work.
Seems like a lot of work, but I would eat.
That'd be really interesting. You could put anything in an egg roll, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because the wrap doesn't even add any flavor.
No.
So it's like whatever you, it's just all it's doing is keeping all the flavors together inside one compartment.
Yeah, a place by my house, they have they're like Reuben egg rolls.
Reuben? Wow.
Which are great.
Are they good?
Yeah.
Except for the Swiss. Swiss cheese is way, the funk factor is way too high.
I don't think there's Swiss cheese in these, but it's essentially a Reuben, and then it's like, you know, like the Thousand Island sauce, you dip it in, sort of, and they're good. And that had me thinking, like, I want more food in egg roll form. Not good for you, but delicious.
Yeah, not good for you.
But yeah, it works.
You could air fry it.
But,
maybe that'd work.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving version, dip it in a little cranberry.
I'd rather dip it in gravy, like the mashed potato gravy. That would be,
that'd be
my choice.
I would put some cranberry in there. I like putting
inside
like on my leftover sandwiches.
Make it a little tart in there. I could see that.
All right, I'm getting hungry. We should go.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Best of luck this week. Hopefully you'll be alive for next week, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.